And now our monthly conversation with longtime Phoenix writer Amy Silverman. Her new column in Phoenix Magazine is called Raising Phoenix. In it, she writes about culture, politics, and everything else that make Phoenix the city it is. Today, we'll be talking about her column called Home Care Woes, which details the experience of two parents caring for their 16-year-old son who has intellectual disabilities. Our co-host Mark Brody spoke with Silverman more about this and started the conversation by asking how she got connected with this particular aspect of the issue.
Well, to be honest, for me, it's personal, as a lot of my work regarding disability is. My daughter, Sophie, who is 16, has Down syndrome. And one of the first things I learned when she was born was that if she'd been born a couple generations ago, we wouldn't have really been given an option. She would have gone to live at an institution. And there are still institutions, I've done some work on them, in Arizona. Well, there's one in particular where there are much older people with Down syndrome who have lived there their whole lives, living there. But, you know, kind of the first thing that I learned when she was born was that, well, a couple generations ago, Sophie would have gone to live in an institution. And the second thing I learned was, but she's not going to now. People keep family members with intellectual disabilities at home, and even family members who have intellectual disabilities who are medically fragile. And that's a much different situation. And that's a lot of the population at Hacienda Healthcare, from my understanding, are people who are medically fragile as well and really need round-the-clock care. And that's the case with the boy who I wrote about in this column. So in that regard, he is different than Sophie, but he, like Sophie, gets state services. And the idea is that it's so much better to keep everyone who you can keep in the community in the community.
Why are families making this choice? I mean, obviously, yes, it's better to have a family member at home if you can, but it sounds like there's a ton of challenges with that.
Right. And I don't think it's feasible for everyone, because even if you do get services, it's still difficult financially to do it. And you need to have a flexible work schedule, particularly the way that the services are handed out in Arizona. You're not necessarily guaranteed that there's going to be somebody to care for your loved one all the time. But people want to keep their family members close. And then after something like what happened at Hacienda, they definitely don't want them in a facility like that.
So you mentioned state services. Does Arizona make it as easy as it can for families to do this, to get the kind of care they need, or are there challenges with that too?
Arizona tries. There are definitely people at the Department of Economic Security whose hearts are in the right place. And I believe that lawmakers have, not always, but often, tried to make things as good as they can. And actually, Arizona does not have a bad reputation nationally, but it's still very difficult for a lot of people, mainly because there's a lack of financial resources. There's a lack of people who are willing and able to do the job of caregiving. So even if you have access to the money to pay them or the agency that will pay them, it can still be almost impossible to find someone.
Do the families tend to have somebody round the clock or near round the clock, or are some of them able to do some of the caregiving themselves?
I think a lot of families do a lot of the caregiving themselves. I think it's pretty unusual to have round the clock caregiving unless you're paying for it out of pocket. I don't know what the maximum is in terms of what you're able to have, but I did focus on a particular family whose son needs constant attention, and they do have people come into the house through the state. And he also goes to school, where he has a lot of care provided by the school and the Department of Education. But, you know, if he's up in the middle of the night, so are they. It's a process. And he's had a lot of health problems, which made things even worse. And that's really what upset his mother so much, and it's the topic of the column, that at a time when they needed even more services because Micah had physical issues related to valley fever and other things, the state decided to cut back on his hours.
One of the things that really struck me in your article was that one of Micah's parents had experience in the healthcare system and still found it sounds like exceedingly frustrating to work through the bureaucracy and talk to the right people and really get what they need.
Yes, his mom has found it very frustrating. And on top of that, Micah is a kid who almost automatically qualifies for services. One of the things that I found in my reporting is that most of the people with intellectual disabilities in the state don't qualify for any services at all, or at least they're not receiving them. Because just because you have an intellectual disability doesn't mean that you're going to qualify for anything.
So what does the answer seem to be here? I mean, does the Valley need more facilities like Hacienda? Does the state just need to allocate more money and other resources for families who choose to keep their loved ones at home? I mean, is there another option here?
That's such a tough and important question. I believe, and this is not necessarily a super popular opinion, but I believe that what families need more than anything else is options. And if a family feels like they cannot adequately care for a family member who's medically fragile and requires round-the-clock care, I believe there should be a safe and affordable option for them to receive care, whether it's in a group home, and group homes are problematic, or an institution, and the I word is about as bad as the F word these days, if not worse, particularly in this community. But I do believe that there need to be options. You don't ever want somebody to feel like a situation is an optimum for everyone in the family. And then, yes, there need to be better resources for family members who do choose to care for their loved ones at home.
The family you profiled, I get the sense that regardless of all the challenges, that there's really no way that they would do anything other than what they're doing.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. They would do whatever they could to keep Micah at home.
All right, that's Amy Silverman. She's a columnist for Phoenix Magazine. The column is called Raising Phoenix. Amy, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.